And we move into our next installment in this sermon series I've been taking us through recently that I've titled The Basics of a Christian Lifestyle. The Basics of a Christian Lifestyle. We've looked at a good number of topics already in this sermon series with more to come. Topics that we've covered so far include how God calls us to live a lifestyle where we treat all people with respect. We looked at that. We're also called to a lifestyle where the worldly divisions among us, like race, class, age, disabled versus healthy, all those divisions are to disappear in God's kingdom. We've looked in this series at the biblical teaching on alcohol use, and we added in drugs and tobacco to the discussion last Sunday, along with a look at exercise and eating right and making sure to build in solid rest into our schedules. Believe it or not, God calls us to that. We also looked at how God calls us into living with a healthy self-image. All good topics, and if you missed any of those and you're interested in that particular topic, all the sermons are out on our website. You can listen to them there. Back in early February, we also hit on one of the most basic of the basics of a Christian lifestyle. We discussed then the Bible's repeated call for human beings to put God first in our lives. To put God first. So that sermon I am going to recap for you right now because it's going to lead us into our topic for today. Again and again throughout the Bible, we are asked to make God the very top priority in our lives. And I suggested in that earlier sermon of mine that if we wrote out a life priority list, it should look something like this. Number one, God. Number two, spouse. Number three, kids. Number four, other family, close friends. Number five, job. And you know, it should look something like that anyway. The main point here is that God is supposed to occupy that top spot. We find this principle taught in Bible verses like Matthew 22:36, where somebody asked Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So catch that. Loving God with your full self is the first and greatest commandment according to Jesus. And there's this verse, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus tells his followers to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the first thing we're supposed to be doing, seeking to help God's kingdom advance, living out the values of Jesus's kingdom that were taught in the Bible. We're to seek to live in rightness and goodness. These are to be our top priorities in life. In that early February sermon, we asked next, okay, well, how do we put that priority in practice then? How do we put God first in our lives? And some of the answers to that question that we went through that day included obeying God's commands. We also said that in order to know what God's commands that we are to obey, we're going to need to study the Bible. Studying the Bible regularly, personally, and in groups is one way to put God first in our lives. Speaking of reading the Bible personally, you know, you add some prayer in with that, and you've got yourself something that we call a quiet time or a devotional time with God. And this is something that we encourage each other around here to do daily. Spend time with God. If we're seeking to love God with our full selves, it stands to reason we should want to spend time with him. And we do that through Bible study and prayer and just sitting in quiet with him. We also talked that Sunday about how being dedicated to coming to church weekly is a way you can show God that you're putting him first. And that decision also helps you then maintain God as a top priority in your life because being in church keeps you worshiping. It keeps you listening to the word of God being preached. It enables you to obey the many biblical commands to do this and that with one another. You know, the New Testament assumes that we're going to be in church doing things with one another. We grow best as Christ followers when we're in relationship with other Christ followers. That happens in and through the church. And at the end of the sermon I'm recapping for you here, we described what putting God first in our lives can do for us. And we discovered that putting God first transforms our lives, moving us from dysfunction into function, moving us into living the best possible lives we can live on this messed up planet, and we'll end up in heaven. All of that means that a command that might at first look like God is an egomaniac, love me with all your heart and soul and mind, actually, that command isn't there for his good, it's there for our good. We're to put God first. This is a lifestyle that we're called to. Well, there's another aspect to putting God first in our lives that we didn't talk about on February 5th, and we're going to do that right now. Okay, so usually when I ask a question in my sermons, I'm not actually wanting you to, you know, verbally reply. I probably want you thinking about an answer in your head, but I'm not looking for a verbal response. However, I am now going to ask a question where I would like a handful of you to respond to verbally if you're up for it. When you were young, let's say in elementary school or maybe in your teenage years, and somebody asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you remember what your answer was from back then? Somebody shout out some answers. A teacher? There you go. It happened. Farmer. What else? Mechanic, yeah, all right. An astronaut, nice, nice. What do you guys want to be? Rock star. Rock star. You are a rock star, Vince. He's living it out. Teacher, yeah. Don't know yet. What's that? I didn't hear it. Business owner, fabric store, nice, yeah. Well, mine didn't happen either. Linda, professional baseball player. everybody asks that question, right? And the question comes along with this assumption that we all get to choose that. It's our choice, what we want to be and do in our lives. Isn't it interesting that God doesn't typically factor into that conversation? Don't you think that our Creator and true Father, the one who asks us to put him first, maybe he wants to be consulted on that matter? Maybe he might have some good insight for us on the direction we should go in. But I'm not sure that we typically think like that. And this way of making our life decisions continues as we grow older. You know, the guidance counselor in high school asks us to start thinking of what we want our plan to be. Are you going to go right into a job, or are you going to go on for some more schooling after you graduate? If it's a job, what kind of job do you want to have? If it's schooling, what's your plan at school? What are you getting trained to do? The guidance counselor likely isn't going to say to you, hey, have you prayed about what God wants you to do in your life? And then we get into other things like, where do I want to live? Country, suburb, city? Do I want to get married? How many kids do I want to have? All the way out to, when do I want to retire? What do I want to do when I retire? I'm just wondering if we include God in those decisions. I want to suggest to you today that we should. That this would be part of putting God first in our lives. What does the being who made me and who I am seeking to think of first in my life think about these decisions I'm making? Now, here's a thought that might jump into your heads at this point. The thought that if you let God have a say in these things, he might ask you to do something you don't want to do. It's not impossible. He might. However, I think that the scenario that most often plays out when people seek God's direction in life decisions, and you know, this is kind of assuming that you're not capsizing your life in sin along the way here too, but I think Most of the time, when people seek God's direction in life decisions, he guides these people eventually into a situation that makes their hearts come alive. God knows what makes us tick. He knows what gets us motivated. He knows where our talents lie. And I think most often, when we let him anyway, he directs us into ways to use our abilities and interests very well. That may be in our actual job, or it may be in our other than job life. I think that when we include God and we seek his guidance in these kinds of things, he might lead us into a career or a situation we might never have thought of on our own. But then when we get there, we find it's exactly what we wanted to be doing. It might even have been something we didn't want to do when he started nudging us in that direction. But when we get there, we discover it's the very best thing. Now, there are all kinds of reasons that this scenario I'm describing here might be delayed in our lives. Maybe we aren't ready for that great thing that God has for us yet. Maybe the great thing God has for us isn't ready for us yet. And also, you know, we need to remember always that we live in a broken world, which might alter this. You know, I doubt there are too many Christ followers living in Ukraine right now who are living out their dream. So circumstances can sidetrack things, but God is an expert at bringing good eventually out of bad circumstances. It's also worth pointing out that because we live in a world where God is waging war with a spiritual enemy and trying to save souls, he may decide that he needs you or me in a certain spot that we maybe wouldn't describe as making our hearts come alive. But there's some great kingdom-advancing reason that he needs us in that spot at this time, being salt and light there. So what I'm saying here isn't, you know, cut and dried, black and white, but I do believe that when we take the big questions like, what do I want to be, where should I live, where should I work or go to school, and we ask God what he thinks, and we seek his guidance, God will open up new pathways for us. And they'll be the best pathways for us. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, well, what about those of us here who have already decided what they're going to be when they grow up? Maybe they have already been that, and now they're retired. Or at least the career path has been well established and doesn't appear likely to change at this point. What if most of those big questions have already been answered? Well, I think God is interested in having us consult him in the small things, too. So, what if you are invited to join some sort of community group or church group, and you're wondering if that's the right use of your time? Should you ask God about that? Or is that too small of a thing for the God of the universe? How about the conversation you're going to have later in the day with someone that you've been having conflict with recently? Should we be talking to God about that? Your house needs new siding and a bathroom remodel. Your choices are to do both things, do one of them, or do neither of them. Should you consult the Lord on that? You know, I think the answer is yes. Yeah, he might not have much to say to you about the home projects or the community group, but he might. What if God knows that something is coming up in your life that you're going to need the money that you were thinking of using on the siding for? Something more important than siding. And because you prayed about it, and because God gave you this feeling of unease while you prayed about going ahead with the siding project, you still have that money when the thing you didn't know was going to happen happens. What if you pray about the community group and you feel led to join it and you end up becoming good friends there with someone who's really needing Jesus in their lives and you're able to help them on their spiritual journey? Well, there is something that felt small and ended up being pretty big. I've been guilty of not including God in decisions like these for sure, but I guess over time I'm learning to bring more to him I think this does matter. Now, you don't have to go all extreme on me here. I don't think you need to ask God if you should eat Captain Crunch or Fruity Pebbles tomorrow morning. All right? Not every decision in our lives needs to become a long, drawn-out process. But yeah, I think we should include God in things. And I do think that God cares about the small things too, whether you're 80 or 40 or 15. Think about everybody's favorite psalm, Psalm 23. I'll read some of it for you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Calvary, that's an image of God walking beside us through all the details of life. That's an image of a God who knows and cares about everything that's going on with us, the big and the small. I believe the Bible communicates that God wants us to come to him in most all of life's decisions. Let's look at some more Bible verses on this. Jesus gives us another really nice image like that of Psalm 23 in Matthew 11, 28. I'll read it for you. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Isn't that kind of like Jesus saying, hey, you know, you keep trying to find your way without me, but it's not working out too well for you, is it? It's left you weary and burdened. But come to me. Pray to me. Ask me where you should go and how you should live. I'll put my light and easy yoke upon you and I'll steer you in the right direction. And you'll find rest for your soul. I think that's God asking us to bring our life decisions to him. God says in Isaiah 48, 17, "I'm the Lord your God who teaches you what's best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." This is a God who wants to guide us. Isaiah 30, 21, he says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." Here's a great one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." And the Hebrew word that's translated acknowledge there, it means know him, like know him intimately, commune with him, submit to him, speak with him. And then what? "In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." King David cried out to God, "Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust in my life." I entrust my life. Remember in our sermon series on the book of Acts last year, we saw how Paul and his companions would ask God what cities they should go minister in next. And there were a couple of occasions where God redirected them. Right? So Paul had his plans changed by God, and he allowed God to lead and direct. The Bible asks us to bring our concerns to God, and it doesn't say only the big concerns. Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." All right, well, let's say I've convinced you that you ought to start including God more in your decision-making in life, seeking his guidance and big and small moves you're considering. Well, the next obvious question then is, how can I know how God is directing me? This question is actually not my central purpose today, and we did some work on how to hear God recently at the end of December, but I'm not going to leave you with absolutely no response on that. So here are a few ideas. Obviously, bring the matter to God in prayer and then listen to see if he has an answer for you. God might speak to you. Now, as we've said here, typically, God doesn't choose to speak in an audible voice. The Bible describes God's voice at one point as often coming like a gentle whisper. So maybe a thought or words popping into our heads. Sometimes God gives visions. We should be open for these things. He may give you a direct answer like that, but he may also not. Pay attention to how you feel in your gut and in your heart as you discuss a possible decision with him. Are you feeling uneasy or agitated when you think about going in a direction you're considering? That could be from the Holy Spirit. Or do you sense a peace about that? You can ask other Christ followers who you trust and know well, and people who know you well. Ask them what they think you should do in the situation you're seeking guidance in. God can speak through other Christ followers. While I've had times when God has clearly answered my prayers for direction, there have been other times when I haven't received much from him. And in those cases, after I've done all the steps we just talked about there, I often will say to God, okay, Lord, I've sought you in this, and I've decided I'm going to go ahead with this choice, but if I'm making a mistake, then shut the door on that thing. So shut doors and open doors are another way God directs us. Sometimes things will come up that we weren't asking God about. A new opportunity that you weren't looking for suddenly and unexpectedly is presented to you. Or you suddenly feel a prompting or a calling from God to go somewhere or do something, and that's worth listening to as well as you seek his guidance in how to live. Now, as always, you ought to work in some double checks. Not every feeling that we get is from God. The request for open doors and shut doors, that can serve as a double check for you. Talking to those other Christ followers that we already mentioned, that can serve as a double check for you. And obviously, anything that is God's will is going to square with the Bible, so God's word can be a double check for us. Be cautious. However, also don't be scared to move. So pray, listen, ask, do your own thinking on the matter as well. Do all those steps and then choose what you believe God is asking of you and move in that direction. I believe that seeking, hearing, following God's guiding looks something like that. Pastor David Wilkerson describes a time in his early pastoral years when he was feeling restless in his spirit. His ministry in the mountains of Pennsylvania was actually going well, but something wasn't feeling right spiritually to him. And it went on long enough that he felt the need to do something significant to seek to change that. What Pastor Wilkerson decided to do was give up watching TV, which he normally did for about 2 hours a day. He actually sold his TV to get it out of the house, and then he tried to replace that daily two-hour slot with prayer and just being with God. He says it was a struggle at first, but he came to really value that time. One evening during that prayer time, Pastor Wilkerson says that he was felt led to open up a copy of Life magazine that was sitting on his desk. And when he did so, his eyes fell upon a story of some teenage boys who were facing trial for murder in New York City. Wilkerson writes, "They were members of a gang called the Dragons. Beneath their picture was the story of how they had gone into Highbridge Park in New York and brutally attacked and killed a 15-year-old boy named Michael Farmer. The story revolted me. It turned my stomach. That's why I was dumbfounded by a thought that sprang suddenly into my head, full-blown, as though it had come into me from somewhere else. Go to New York City and help those boys." Wilkerson obeyed, and what followed was a ministry to gang members and drug addicts that caught fire in the New York area and eventually morphed into an addiction recovery program called Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge has become a highly successful drug recovery program with over 200 centers in the United States and 1,000 worldwide. I'm not asking you to give up your TV, but this story provides a great example for us of the possibilities that open up When we spend time with God, when we talk with him and we seek his will, and when we're ready to listen and obey when he guides us. Teen Challenge has literally brought thousands and thousands of people both out of addiction and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you think it was worth giving up some TV time to get that going? Are you including God in the decisions of your life, big or small? Are you seeking his leading? Hey, what's happening next week that you could get him in on and ask his guidance about? If you decide to do this, be ready to wait. I can tell you that I have experienced God guiding me in some substantially amazing ways, but I also have experienced years of waiting for answers to my prayers. And all that waiting felt like agony to me. But I can tell you, looking back now, God showed up at just the right time. He wasn't late. He wasn't early. He was right on time. You know, perhaps you've messed this up in your past, including God in the decisions of your life. It's not too late to start. Perhaps some things that God could have brought to you have been missed due to your not seeking his leading in the past. But if you start today, God can bring you to the next best path for your life. These are things that God excels at. What do I want to be when I grow up? Big question there. And we do have decisions to make in life, don't we? Some are big, some are not as big. What kind of job should I have? How should I seek to provide for my family? Where would it be best for us to live? What should I eat? What should I drink? What should I wear? And Jesus said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." May it be so in our lives. Would you pray with me, please? When human beings were first created, your word tells us, Lord, you walked and talked with them face to face as they went through their days. But they messed that up and chose sin, which you cannot be with. But you made a way then for sinners like us, those who are cleansed now by Jesus' blood, to be near to you again. You say that you come to be within us when we come to you in belief and repentance. And we once again can have you walk with us through the ins and outs of our days. And your word says that you want that kind of relationship with us. You want to come. You want us to come to you with our concerns, big and small. You'll direct us on the right paths if we ask you for help. You're good to us, God. And how we need you. We are lost without you. May each one here seek you first in the days ahead. And may we all follow you all the way out to heaven. Thank you, God. Amen.